Oh, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it so very, very much. Those of you watching online, thank you for participating. Just want to welcome all of you. I want to thank Pastor Jim. He's just done an incredible job leading our missions department and many years of faithful service there. And in the 20-some years I've been here, we have made really big strides. And I'm just really, really excited about that and inspired and proud of you. I'm not the big, I'm really not a missionary type. I don't really like to travel. And I think I've left this country 3 times in the 25 years nearly I've been here. And I don't really like to do much of that. I like to see my role as the instructor, the teacher. I like to come here every week and try to inspire you so that you might go somewhere, right? I want to teach and communicate the basics that God is good, the time is short, we are here for a purpose, and you are here, by the way, because of God's grace. And if you're here today and you are not a Christian, I want you to know that God is graciously giving you time to repent, to turn around, and give your heart and life to Him if you haven't done so already. Last week we talked about what's right with the church, and the first thing we looked at was that Jesus Christ started the church. He is the founder. Even though the world and some in the church suggest that the church is ineffective, it's irrelevant and indifferent, we understand that it really is a powerful thing because Jesus founded it and He's been building it for 2,000 years. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus said, upon that rock, I'm going to build my church on that great truth. Another thing that's right with the church, it's you and me, the people of the church. Jesus trusted the people of the church. He trusted Peter. And by all accounts, Peter wasn't that hot of a guy. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes. He actually denied Christ. And yet Jesus loved the people. Yes, He's the founder, but He knows the only way to really for the church to work is to trust the people in the church to do the work. And He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. And I'm telling you, He's given you an opportunity. He's given me the opportunity. He's given us the keys to the kingdom to go and do what He wants us to do. That's how He's going to grow the church. The third thing is the influence of the church. He said, I'm going to build the church, Peter, and the gates of Hades are not going to be able to defend it. They're not going to be able to keep you out. In other words, He wants the church to go on the offensive. He wants us to take the gospel to the whole world. And it's a big task. The last point of the sermon last week that I didn't get to because it's this week's sermon, the thing that's right with the church is the mission of the church. I call it the monstrous mission. God has given us a task that is so unbelievable. That's what makes the church so wonderful. September coming up here, it's going to be 18 years when those terrorists flew their planes into those twin towers in New York, the Pentagon. And I don't know if you remember that day. I do vividly. I had a funeral that day. I'll never forget that. And the whole time I'm doing the funeral, my heart is just breaking, thinking about what in the world is going on with our country. And I will never forget that night or the night after they had all this mangled metal when those towers collapsed. And they had a light behind some of that metal, that mass of twisted steel. And it was so haunting. And I wonder, have you ever thought about what happened to all of that steel, that pile of rubble? Well, I'm sure many of you know that steel was melted and was used in the construction of a naval ship called the USS New York. 7.5 tons of that mangled metal was used to commission the USS New York on March the 1st, 2008. And that military ship is what it is. It's gone all over the world trying to defend and protect our nation. In the crest of that ship, there is the Twin Towers along with the motto that says, never forget. Now here's my question for you today. We get going. You imagine what a tragedy it would be if the USS New York remained in the harbor and never left the safety of the dock. You see, it was commissioned for a task, and it has sailed around the world and it's done its job. And we understand the commissioning of a Navy vessel, but do we really grasp, do we take seriously the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to every one of us who call ourselves Christ followers? We call it the Great Commission. And I think a lot of churches, if they were honest, they would have to admit that they're part of the Great Omission. In other words, they're not really participating. They're more a part of the minuscule mission than the Great Commission. And if you're, you know, the Bible talks about a sin of commission and omission. A sin of commission is something you commit. Sin of omission is something you omit, you don't do. So there's that. But I'm telling you, this is not just a request. It is a command. Jesus is saying, I want you to commit these deeds. I want you to go do these things. And if you don't do these things, then it really is the sin of omission. Matthew 28, we read this in the Christian Standard. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And here's three sad words. But some doubted. I mean, he had a group of 11. And some of them doubted. Some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations and also baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded. Not just some of it, not just a part of it, all of it, everything. You go, you share, you baptize, and don't just leave them there. Then you got to teach them everything. That's making disciples. Everything I've taught you, everything I've commanded you, you teach them. And then he says, remember, I'll be with you to the end of the age. That's a pretty monstrous mission that he's given us. One of the great missionaries of the modern era, Hudson Taylor, he arrived in China at the age of 21 to practice medicine and to share the gospel. He adopted all of it, the dress, the language. He spent 51 years of his life in China. And he would go back to his home, England, and he would try to implore them to help him along the way. And one time he wrote this, can all the Christians in England sit still with folded arms while these multitudes in China are perishing, perishing for lack of knowledge that England richly possesses? And then he said this, the Great Commission is not a suggestion to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Hudson Taylor died in 1901, right at the turn of the century. And when he died, there were 850 some missionaries in the China inland alone. Many of the hospitals, many of these charitable institutions that were started, they were all started right around the turn of that century. All of these Presbyterian missionaries were in China, and all of these good things were happening. I want you to consider today, I want you to maybe ask yourself, what is your role? I mean, we're talking about this monstrous mission. Do you have a part in it? Are you a part of the Great Commission, or are you a part of the Great Omission? Are you watching somebody else do it, or are you a part of it? I want you to be a part of it. I think the Lord wants everyone in this room to be a part of this monstrous mission. In your notes, and I've been preaching way too long all weekend, and I'm tired, and I want to go home and watch golf, so you're in for a good treat. Number one, Jesus spoke with supreme authority. He said, all authority. Everybody say all. Everybody say authority. Okay, I liken it to jelly beans at Easter. If you've got all the jelly beans, how many jelly beans does the rest of your family have? They have none. If Jesus has all the authority, then nobody else has any authority. He has all the authority, to get this, in heaven and on earth. It's all been given to Jesus by his heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, we're going to need some of that power, some of that authority, if we're going to engage in this thing we call the monstrous mission. If you're going to go into the world and try to share Jesus, you're going to need a little help. You're going to need something that you can't see. You're going to need some power from on high. Jesus gave this commission to 11 guys. 11 guys. He's already down one, and some of the 11 are doubting him. And he's telling these 11, and most of them aren't highly educated, I want you to go into the whole world and take this message and share the gospel and make disciples of every single people group. I don't know how you'd feel if you're one of the 11, but you might feel like maybe you weren't cut out for it. Like this might be too much. I read about two milk cows that were eating grass, and a milk truck drove by. And they looked up at the truck, and on the side of the truck it said, fresh milk, homogenized, pasteurized, fortified, low-fat, vitamin-enriched, enriched. And one cow looked at the other one and said, kind of makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it? Can you imagine how they must have felt when Jesus said, I want you to take this to every people group in the world? I imagine Peter was like, Lord, are you kidding? We don't have any mode of transportation. We have no machinery. We have no money. We can hang around in Galilee and maybe make a good impression, but we can't stand up against the Roman government, their military might. We just can't do this. And the Lord was probably thinking, you're right, Peter. That's why I'm going to give you some of my power, some of my authority. If Jesus speaks in heaven, it's done. And he's got all the power on this earth. When he says it can be done, it can be done. Luke 9 tells us that he called them together and gave them some power, and they drove out demons, and they healed the sick, and they cured people because he gave them that power. You ever, when you were a kid, you ever play cops and robbers? Probably not politically correct. I did. I played cowboys and Indians, and I was both cowboys and Indians, depending on the day. And I was both cops and robbers, depending on the day. And a lot of times, I loved to be the cop, and then you pull around, and I had a fake gun, toy gun, and you'd stick it out there. And I know that's all incorrect today, but you'd stick it out there. And a lot of times, I'd say, freeze! And so, stop in the name of the law. You know, that used to be on TV shows. They can't do that anymore. And then I'd say, put your hands in the air. And, you know, the kid would stick his hand in there. My dad would stick his hands in the air. And then I'd go ahead and shoot him as a kid, even though they're freezing and their hands are up. As a kid, I'd still just shoot them all. I don't, bang, 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 you're dead. But when we take the gospel, we're not taking the gospel in our own name. We're not sharing the good news in the name of the independent Christian church. And a lot of people get confused. We're not sharing the gospel in the name of America. We share the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ because Jesus is the one with all the power and all the authority. And if he commissions us to go take the gospel somewhere, I'm telling you, he's going to give you enough juice to get out there and share it. Number two in your notes, Jesus gave us the ultimate assignment. I mean, what an assignment. He said, go into the whole world. And basically, that was a participle, which means as you go, as you are going through the course of your life, share the good news, make disciples with everybody and anybody you come in contact with. As you go through the normal traffic patterns of life, make disciples. That word there, nations, doesn't mean countries with borders. It's more like the word ethnos, which means people group, ethnic group. So he's saying, take the gospel wherever you go and share it with every ethnic group that you ever come across. And by the way, those of us living in California, And in a city like Fresno, you don't have to go to India to share the gospel with an ethnic group. They are all around us. And our church is committed. And I hope if you have any interest in being involved in missions, that you might contact Pastor Jim and just ask him for some help and direction. That's why we are here. That's what we're about. Our church is committed to taking the gospel to folks who have not yet heard it. We've been supporting a church in a great ministry, home, children's home, and all kinds of stuff in South Korea since 1968. We've been supporting this church. Dr. Che, he's a phenomenal guy. He's getting up in years, and his son, we ordained his son about a year ago. He's taking over that ministry. In India, we're helping with other churches. We are getting ready to build another mercy home. We have already, we basically did the whole mercy home for the girls, and we're building another mercy home for the boys. We're also building a training institute for nurses' assistants, and we're also in Japan. We've got a guy from Ozark Christian College, and we don't support him regularly in that we give him a monthly thing, but whenever he is in need, the first place he calls is this church. He started a church in Japan. Japan's a very tough field to share the gospel in, and when he is in need, he calls Cross City Christian Church, and we help him out. We got a guy that went to our perspectives class. He is an attorney, a law. He basically sold everything and has moved to Moscow. And he is trying to start a ministry and a church there. And he also calls upon us whenever he can, which is quite a bit, and ask for our financial help. And we just believe that if you would get the courage to consider going someplace, that God would be with you, He would empower you, and He would fill you with His Spirit, and that people would have a chance to hear the gospel that would never, ever hear it unless you got in on this and made a decision that you wanted to share the good news with ethnic groups wherever you went. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascended into heaven, He said something very interesting. You'll receive power. Listen to this. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's the city, in all of Judea, that would be like a state, and Samaria, that would be like several states or a nation, and to the ends of the earth. As we go, we share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. And I won't even get into the baptism part today because of time, but he said when you do that, when you share the gospel, you baptize them. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I had a guy once upset with me. He threatened to leave the church. I said, why? Because you baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not even in the Bible. I said, I think it is. You're not reading it right. And when you're baptized into Christ, you are identifying with Christ. It's like when I see somebody over in the frat house and they're wearing a San Francisco Giant uniform, and I want to just call them some really, really, I can't say in church, kind of names. Because they want to identify with their team. I get it. I get it. I don't understand it, but I get it. And when you want to identify with Jesus Christ, you're baptized into Christ. You're telling the whole world, I'm putting on this jersey. I'm on His team. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. And so at what point, I'm asking myself, do I consider being a part of this monstrous mission? What could I do, preacher? I just walked in here. I didn't want to be part. I just barely got in here, and now you're talking about this gigantic. Do I have any role in this? And the answer is, you can. And here's the meat of the sermon. Number one, you can pray for more missionaries. Hudson Taylor prayed for more missionaries. 1853, he started out from England to China. And there were less than 100 missionaries really in the whole world taking the gospel to unknown people groups. There are now about 100,000 evangelical missionaries from all different denominations in this world trying to share Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's awesome, but it's not enough. We need more. We need more missionaries. When I was a kid, I remember an actual debate that people would have about should we take the gospel to third world countries who have never heard the gospel. If they've never heard it, isn't the Lord going to give them a pass? Aren't they going to enter straight in to heaven? And I really think just the opposite of that. That's why Jesus said to go to these people and to share the gospel. Go, evangelize, teach. It's really the wrong question. How is God going to judge the pagan who's never heard the gospel? And why we would spend any time on that question, I don't have any idea. We just should be obedient. We should just do what the Lord has asked us to do. The question, if we're going to be consumed about a question, to me, the question we ought to think about is, how is God going to judge us? How is God going to judge America, who has heard the gospel over and over again? For a minute, forget about the pagan in Africa or India. Think about how God's going to deal with people here in the San Joaquin Valley, where there's basically a church on every corner, and a Bible in every hotel room, and a Christian bookstore on every main street, and you can turn your radio on and your television on and hear the gospel anytime you want. I believe, and I don't have time to get into it theologically, I do believe there's going to be, people are going to be judged according to a lot of factors, and one of those factors is the light that has been let into their head, heart, and soul. I think that's a part of it. I could get into a lot. It would take me a week to try to explain some of that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he told us to go to these places and to share the gospel. I think there's, you know, there's rewards in heaven. There might be different, you know, levels of hell. I don't know, but I do believe we're going to be judged accordingly to the light we've received. But that didn't, he didn't say don't take the light to them, because that'll really help him out. He didn't say that. He said, go. So, I just don't feel like I can go. I don't feel like I can do anything. Well, you can pray. If you believe in what you claim you believe in, you can ask God to send missionaries. Let's do it right now. Let's bow our heads. Will you join me? Father God in heaven, we thank you for this great day. I know you love everybody in this room. And I know you love everybody not in this room. We know you loved all the saved people, and we know you love people that aren't saved. And Father, we know the time is short. We're on the clock. And we know that we have been given an incredible task. It seems way too big for us, but we have a part in it. And part of it is just believing in you and asking you to send us, to send more missionaries into this dark world and to share your light. We pray that believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Letter B, you can share the love of Jesus with those around you. You can love the lost in your own circle. That's something you could do to be a part of that. You've got classmates, you've got maybe family members, a teammate. You got somebody on your team, right? That third baseman, he's a hothead. I'm telling you, you could be a friend to him. You could be a friend to a classmate, a neighbor. Sometimes neighbors are the most difficult. But you can love on them, be kind, go out of your way, random acts of kindness, do something, share Jesus with them. Oh, but I'm afraid they might be intimidated. Listen, if you will commit to engaging in a spiritual conversation, oh, I wish I had more time to preach. God will speak through you. People come to me all the time and they say this very thing. I didn't want to. I was scared, but I took the risk. I engage in a spiritual conversation, and preacher, I ended up talking about stuff I didn't even know about. It was amazing. I knew a whole lot more than I thought I knew. And I'm just telling you, God, that's part of the promise. He will speak through you if you're just willing to get out there and risk a little bit. I talk to people all the time after church. They say, that was a great sermon. And they go, oh, thank you. And they talk about something. And I'm like, what are you talking? I didn't even talk about that. They heard something completely different. I wouldn't even talk. I never even mentioned Noah's Ark. The first time that happened to me, I wanted to say, go back in there and listen again. You're really, really slow. And then it dawned on me, no. God uses the speaker, and he also uses the listener. That's what happened at Pentecost. Not only did he use the speaker, he blessed people through what they heard. They heard the message in their own language. And if you're willing to engage in a spiritual conflict, a spiritual conversation, to go next level, I believe with all of my heart, God will take that and use you and speak through you and bless you. I don't want to show the video. I showed it first service. You can probably watch it online. But Penn and Teller from Vegas, they are, both of them are atheists. And the big guy, Gillette, Penn Gillette, talks about, and I had it on video, it's not a good quality video, but he put it online where somebody after a show one time gave him a New Testament Gideon's Bible. And he talks about how he was not offended at all. And he talked about how if somebody really believed in those things, it's really kind of cool that they would want to share that with him. He was impressed by that. He wasn't offended. And sometimes we think somebody's going to be offended, and that really shouldn't be the issue. He actually asked this question. This is powerful. How much do you have to hate somebody not to share the message with them? How much do you have to hate someone to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell him or her that? He said, if a truck was bearing down on you and you didn't believe it was bearing down on you, but I knew it was going to hit you, I would jump out there and tackle you. Now he said, I don't believe anything this guy says or anything in that Bible, but I'm impressed that he would believe it enough to share it with me. I pray God would put somebody in your life, direct you towards them, that you would have the courage just to share his love with them no matter what you're going through. Letter C, you could invest financially in missions. Oh, here you go, preacher, right up your alley. We operate on a simple precept of giving 10% of our income to the church to missions. We have about a $5.5 million budget, and so we give to our missions, listen, brace yourself, $550,000 a year. And I know you're thinking, wow, that's a lot. It is, but remember, it is a monstrous mission. And we're spending 90% on us. And I would just encourage you, if you're out there going, oh, I can't play any role in the monstrous mission. Yeah, you can. You could give. We ask you to tithe. We tithe of what given to us to missions. We ask our people to tithe. And the truth is, it's a small percentage that actually tithe. And so, yeah, 5.5 seems incredible, but I'm just telling you, if everybody believed and everybody tithed, everybody believed their 90% with God would go further than their 100% all by themselves, then we would have over a $10 million, $11, $12 million budget. We could be given to missions every year, $1.2, $1.3 million, and it wouldn't even be a stretch. My point is, your generosity affects everything. Your generosity makes a difference in this world. Just want to remind you of that. Letter D, you could pack your bags and go. It's a, whoa, preacher, that's a little heavy. Now, listen, we asked that. We just prayed that. And maybe God's speaking to you, to your heart. The Doys did that in 2014. They were sitting out here just like you. And the Holy Spirit nudged them on the shoulder, and they sold everything. One was a teacher, and they sold everything. They sold their house. They went to Mexico, and Jim talked a little bit about some of the struggle they've had recently. They're going to a different place, and they see that it's a God thing. But I'm just telling you, that could happen to you today. 40 years ago, the typical missionary was kind of a nerdy preacher type who was seminary trained, and they would go out and try to start churches. Today, the whole missionary force looks totally different. They're skilled in computers. They're usually younger. They have a background in teaching or engineering or healthcare, and they have to have a marketable skill to be accepted into certain cultures. And I'm just wondering, maybe you got that degree that had nothing to do with theology, but maybe God was equipping you and preparing you to be a missionary. I would not put it past him to tap a couple of you on the shoulder even today. So, well, I just don't know what role I can play. Listen again. You can pray. Everyone can pray. You can be good to those around you. You can love the lost people around you. That is not always easy. You can do that. You could be generous. You could give something. You can't outgive God. You can give a little or a lot. He's going to outgive you back. Or you could just figure out a way to get those bags packed and go see Pastor Jim and say, hey, I'm willing and able. Where do you want to point me? Finally, in your notes, Jesus offers great assurance. He says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that good news? I mean, a lot of you today, if you were honest, you, and very few of us would say this, but we're lonely. And some of us feel alone. And we're given this incredible task, and we can't even imagine going out and trying to fulfill this because we feel alone. And the Lord is saying, here's the good news. As you take the good news, I am going to be with you. In fact, I love this picture. As Jesus is ascending into heaven, think of this now. Picture this. He is saying to his followers on the ground, I am going to be with you. That's a little ironic. Whoop, through the clouds, he's gone. I'm going to be with you. Whoop, bye, see ya. I mean, Peter's probably down there going, what? You know, schizophrenic Peter, what's going on? You're going to be with it? You're just went through the cloud. But one day passed, 2 days, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came down. And when Jesus was walking with his disciples, he said, I will be with you. But when the Holy Spirit came down, the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit is really Jesus' spirit. So Jesus is not just with you as he was with the disciples. He is in you. The one with all the power, the one who has all the authority, He's willing to give you some. If you're willing to take a risk and share the good news with Jesus Christ with somebody who's never heard it. I often wonder what happened to those disciples. History tells us they were tortured, they were captured, they were beaten, and they were murdered. As we prepare to close, I often wonder, as history tells us, that Peter was crucified upside down. And we've talked a lot about Peter in the last couple weekends, but I just think about him and I think, I wonder what he was thinking as he's upside down being crucified. He was given this incredible task. And I got a feeling Peter was probably thinking, I told you, Lord, I mean, you gave us this great task, but we only got out, you know, in circles this wide of Jerusalem. We didn't get very far. We did our best, and we were on the run for a long time. And we made a good try, but this appears to be the end. Sorry, Lord. Well, the truth is, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. Because the blood of the martyrs, that blood became the seed of faith for the next 200 years, 300 years. The church was finally legalized in Rome. I mean, it took off. When the church is scattered, your people are underground, and I mean, their faith is legit as they're sharing the love of Jesus with people who've never heard it. And those first 300 years, man, the church took off. But honestly, I'm going to give you a little history here. Maybe you don't know. The Dark Ages came. It was a long time. Christ died 2,000 years ago. Basically, we've been 1,500 years of those 2,000 years. We've been in what we call the Dark Ages. You had the political machine of the Catholic Church. It was really not spreading the gospel anywhere. You had the spread of Islam. The church really made zero strides in about 1,700 years. But I'm telling you, there's what we call the modern birth missionary movement. That basically the last 100, 120, 25 years, over 75% of the world's evangelization has happened in the last century. The beginning of the 20th century, they say that 2% of the world's population was literally practicing Christian principles. By 2010, it was about 13% of the world's population believed in Christianity. That all happened in the last 100, 125 years. See, what are you saying? I'm saying the time is now. We've got the technology, we've got the transportation ability, we've got the delivery mode. We can get the gospel to people that we've never been able to get it to before. We have no excuses. In the year 1888, a little city in the northwest corner of Alabama, Trevor's favorite place, a beautiful, healthy little girl was born into a family. She was normal in every way, but at 18 months of age, she contracted a terrible disease, and I mean everything shut down. It left her totally blind, totally deaf. She could not speak. She could not hear. And in those days, they wanted to put you in a home, basically an insane asylum. But her parents, who were believers in Christ, didn't want to do that. They did everything they could, and it was a mess for a long time. They finally hired a school teacher, a 17-year-old school teacher, to come and kind of tutor her and help her. This was before Braille. This was before sign language was a global way of communicating. And so they came up with their own sign language. And the teacher would make these hand gestures, and the girl would put her hands on her hands. And that's how they would communicate back and forth. That little girl grew up. She became highly respected, intelligent. She wrote books. She toured the world. She became a great thinker and a celebrity. But when she was in her late teens, a lot of people don't know, her parents, who were committed Jesus lovers, they asked a well-known preacher to come by their house and to tell this little girl the truth about Jesus Christ. And so he did that, and they had an interpreter there. The teacher was there, and he was speaking, and she was doing all these signs, and her hands were on these things, on her hands. And when she was finished, they say that Helen Keller had the most brilliant smile she had ever smiled. And she signed back as the teacher put her hands on hers. And this is what she said. She said, "Oh, I know him. I know him. I've known him for years. I just did not know his name. Thank you for telling me the full truth." I love that because I think everything on this planet and in this nature, in our lives and our experiences, I think everything yells out to us, there is a God, there is a Creator. There's a reason you're here. And the reason is to share the good news. And the only people that would make a video of themselves proclaiming they're an atheist are just people whose hearts are so hard, hardened by sin, that they can't see that we have someone who loves us. We do. And he's commissioned us to go. Imagine that ship, the USS New York. It's still in the harbor, can't get out, doesn't want to go. Could be risky. Something could happen. Makes no sense. Jesus is telling us, as we go to share his love, as we go, shine the light. Yeah, you might have to walk an extra mile. But think about those who are separated from Christ. And if you don't tell them, they're going to be separated for all of eternity. So go. Pray. Give. Think about going yourself. And wherever you go in life, as you go, share the love of Jesus. No matter what, if they don't believe you, Andre Crouch used to sing, tell them anyway. They don't want to receive it. Just tell them anyway. God is saying, tell them that I love them. No matter what they say, how they respond, how ugly they can be, just tell them that I love them. We can do that. My friend, you are a part of a good church, and the church is right because it's a part of this great assignment, this monstrous mission to share Jesus with anybody and everybody. Let's stand and sing. If you're here today, if you have any decision, we want you to just step down here. We will help you. Whatever it is, we want to help you. Let's stand. Let's sing together.